For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Have our minds centred on the Lord and His Word. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's open in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you today. We thank you for your victory in our lives and in the midst of this church. We praise you for that, Lord. We thank you for your word. The word of God is quick and powerful. Lord, we ask that this morning your word would speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. We looked at the war against the Word of God part one last time. We saw that we are currently in the Laodicean period of church history where there is a lot of compromise amongst the churches and a lot of deterioration in doctrine and belief and stand for the truth. However, that doesn't mean that all Laodicean Christians are like that. It just means that that's the general trend at the moment, and that indeed is going to be greatly reversed according to Bible prophecy. Let's have a look at first of all 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. Now the world is against God. We must understand that. The world has an entirely different way of doing things from God. There is a renegade, a spiritual ruler over the world. The Bible calls him the God of this world, and we know him to be Satan or the devil. We must be aware of this, because compromise with the world is very deadly for Christians, and in fact it's the major reason why the current Laodicean type church has got to where it is now. Looking at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, let's read this out. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, despite what some people say, the word profession is different from the word confession. Confession is a subset or part of profession. Profession is how you act and walk by faith as a believer, as a Christian believer in the world today, but obviously not of the world. And of course, there's many witnesses around you, and those witnesses are seeing how you, for example, how are you handling or operating in your Christian faith? How are you doing it? What are you doing? Are you just like everyone else in the world? No. You know, there's some Christians that think it's okay to drink alcohol and let a little bit of profanity out of their mouth every so often. It's okay to, you know, go along with the world's ideas about, you know, same-sex stuff and all types of things. I don't have to go into detail. You know what I'm talking about. Well, I hope you do. You should know there's great differences between the way the world thinks, and it's a fleshly or carnal way of doing things, and there is an active war. Otherwise, Paul would not have said here, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. We are in a fight. You see, a fight means there's an enemy. Now, we know that the Bible pinpoints who that enemy is. It says our adversary or enemy, the devil. Our adversary. So there is a fight, but it's a good fight of faith. It's a good fight because there is victory available through Christ. But it's also a fight centered around the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible says, is truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17 tells us that. And the devil wants us to get off the word because he knows that if we are people of the word, then there's the opportunity to grow in faith, in knowledge of the will of God, in knowledge of what to do in the kingdom of God, how to gain victory, and so on. We know that it is a fight. And if you've been in the Christian walk as a faith Christian for any length of time, you'll know where the fight is at. You'll know the weapons of your warfare. And you'll know that the crucial hinge point of that fight is the Word of God, because it comes down to, do you believe the Word or not? And in fact, what did the devil first of all, the first thing he did when he came against man, Adam and Eve, the first thing he did was cast doubt on God's Word. Yea, hath God said? That's what the devil said. But of course, we should be people that are sober and vigilant. That's what the Word tells us. And sober and vigilant means we are aware of the enemy, we are aware of the fight, and we see that it's a good fight of faith. It's a good fight of faith, because if you battle in the faith realm rather than in the natural, you're going to have the manifested victory in your life. This is very, very important. So he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Eternal life starts right when you're born again. So you've got to be born again before you die, physically, obviously, if you want to go on into eternal life in heaven. So eternal life is more than just, I'm living forever. We're living forever with God and I'll go to heaven. Eternal life is a quality of life. You know, there's people that will live forever, but they'll be in hell. They'll be in the lake of fire. There's no quality to that because they've rejected God. You know, but eternal life is a quality. You think about life without fear, for example, without torment. A life full of love, full of joy, full of blessing. Isn't there quality to that type of life? And that's what eternal life is all about, because you have hooked into what the Word says you are and what the Word has for you. The Bible says that the Word is able to give you an inheritance. Well, see, what does the devil want in your life? What does the adversary want? He wants you to have no joy. He wants you to have no faith. He wants you to have confusion. He wants you to be off track. He doesn't want you to be in any way combating him in the fight. But indeed we have to be sober and vigilant, as I said before. So the fight is primarily around the Word, because faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. And if he can stop you from getting faith, if the adversary can stop you from getting faith, then he can stop you operating against his work, which is to keep people in the kingdom of darkness or to lead people astray. But if you can be a person of faith and fight the good fight of faith, many things can be wrought through you. God can do things through you, and indeed people can be taken out of the kingdom of darkness and out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a look at Colossians 3. And we'll look at verses 1 to 10. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 10. Now, as we're living in this world, and I've already talked about the good fight of faith, as we're living in this world, the world, you have to see, is crucified unto you. Now that means it should be dead to you. The hold of the world on you should be, it shouldn't exist. In other words, your victory, your association, your identification is in the kingdom of God, is in Christ, In fact, Paul said Christ is his life. What we need to see is that we are dead. Dead or separated from the world. We are not people that live for example, the praise of the world, or for the world to do things for us. Look, the Bible tells us that our promotion is in the Lord. Okay? And every good thing that comes to you, you, even if it's a small thing, you should say, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. You know? The Lord will show you how to get victory manifested in your life. But you've got to give him all the glory. Colossians 3, starting from verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ. Well, that should be every born-again Christian. Are you a born-again Christian? If you are, then you are risen with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your what? Affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, obviously, it's hidden from those in the world because they just haven't got a clue as to what being born again or being saved is. That's why we have to preach. We have to preach the sermons, how to be a born-again Christian, how to become a born-again Christian, how to be saved. And preach the gospel. That has to be done. Otherwise, the world would never hear of the Saviour. So there should be more preaching, not less. And you'll hear more about that as we go on further, in further sermons as well. For ye are dead. It's obviously dead to the world, okay? Dead to the things on the earth. And dead people don't have affections. If you're dead to the world, you're not going to have an affection for the world. Okay? Verse 4. When Christ, who is our what? Life. Let me repeat that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, okay, here's where the quality of eternal life is. Christ is your life. Okay, here's your Saviour. Here's your Lord. Here's your healer. Here's your deliverer. Here's your the one who prospers you and blesses you. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Notice that everything he is, like he's risen, he's alive, that's for us as well. We are risen with him, spiritually risen. One day we'll be physically risen with him as well. So you've got to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Just keep your finger in Colossians 3 and go across to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 13. Now, we just read that we should set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And you might say, well, how do I do that? How do I do that? What every day I'm looking at the things that are on the earth. My physical senses are all touching and looking at and hearing the things on the earth. There's a lot of temptation for me to have a centered affection on those things. Now, remember what it says there, ye are dead. Ye are dead. That is, you are separated. In fact, the Bible says we are crucified with Christ. And the world is crucified to us. And we are crucified unto the world. Can you see the understanding there? Our complete identification is in Christ, we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. It's not hidden to us, but it's hidden, obviously, to those who are unsaved. So looking at Hebrews 11, verse 13, and we'll see what people in faith did when they were on the earth and how they kept their affection on things above. Notice what they did. Verse 13 says, "These all," and you can read about them in the previous 12 verses, "these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed." Now, I believe in confession. Remember, I said right at the beginning that profession and confession is not the same thing. Now, I've heard some preachers that come to that scripture which says that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the high priest of our profession. And immediately they put confession there instead of profession. That's a mistake. Confession is part of profession, but it's not the same. And we see in verse 13 there is something that they confessed. And notice what they confessed. "And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." So we're on the earth, but we're strangers and pilgrims. This is a good confession to make. We are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And what does that do? It causes you to center your affection, center your focus on things that aren't on the earth, because you're a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth. You're just traveling through. Your life is but a vapor. There is another place. There is, remember, set your affection on things above. There is another place where we're setting our affections on. And it's where Christ is. Notice what it says in the next few verses. Verse 14 says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Now notice what it says in verse 14. "They that say such things." Does God expect you to be saying, "I'm a stranger and a pilgrim upon the earth"? He does. I've taken up that confession regularly now, that I am a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth. "But they that declare, they that say such things," that should be us, "declare plainly that they seek a country." Now there's two countries that are mentioned in verses 15 and 16. The first one is the one that they came from, which is talking about they've come out of the world. And it says, "And truly if they had been," what's that word? "Mindful," so thinking about the past, thinking about the world, thinking about, "Oh, look what I've come from. If they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And I think that's one of the major problems with the present Laodicean type church, which is that there's a lot of mindfulness about the world and look at what I was enjoying back then. I was able to, you know, freely drink and all that type of thing, and you know, I could just say what I wanted, etc. So what's happening? Their conformity is with the world. Their thinking is with the world. And then, you know, the devil will oblige and give opportunities for them to return. Opportunities to return to that type of thing. Plenty of opportunities all about. So to make sure that you don't have those opportunities to return, you have to have verse 16 in operation. "But now they," what? "Desire That's where your affections are centered on. They desire a better country, that is, an heavenly country. So that's obviously one that's above, and we're setting our affections on things above. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And of course, the heavenly Jerusalem is clearly that one. And what we know is that there is enormous blessing available for the people of God. What we must be seeking is not the things of the past, not that place that we came out of, not be looking back or mindful of that, but have a desire that we just read, a desire for the things of the Lord. You see, when we don't have a desire for the things of the Lord, then we will put the things of the Lord aside, such as the Word of God, such as prayer, such as fellowship. And do you know, every single person I've seen backslide, that's what they do. They put the things of the Lord aside. It doesn't mean that nothing is replacing that. Other things replace it. Okay? So they might put aside prayer, but they do something else in its place. They might put aside godly fellowship, but then they're fellowshipping with all types of people that hate God and so on, or don't believe the Word of God. So it's very, very important for us to understand that for us to keep hot in the Lord, to keep focused, to have our affection on God, we must be people of the Word of God and fight the good fight of faith. You have to fight, because the whole flow of the world is against you. Is against you. Okay. So going back to Colossians 3, let's go back to Colossians 3 again. I told you to put your finger in there. It says, start from verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And we saw a good confession that we should be making. We are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's one we should put into our mouth regularly. A good confession. Verse 3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, there's a good confession as well. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Say that a dozen times. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which is a sexual desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also, sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off these, put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in what? Knowledge, after the image of him that created him. We've been created in Christ Jesus. We should be renewed in knowledge after the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what Romans 8 tells us. We should be conformed to the image of Christ, image of God's dear Son, God's Son. So now we are told in verse 5 to mortify. Mortify is put to death in a way of separation. Okay, be separate. Make sure that there is a separation of your members from these things that are upon the earth. Your members, which are upon the earth. So fornication. Fornication, we should know what that means. Fornication is all sex outside of marriage. Adultery is therefore a part of that. So when the Bible says flee fornication, then as soon as there's a temptation for that, you do what the Bible says. You flee it. You turn away from it. You go right away from it. Etc. We go right through these things and we can see that we have to take the word into our heart and say, what does the word say I should do here? Should I be thinking on that? Should I be indulging in that? What is the word? But you've got to see yourself as crucified with Christ, the world crucified to you, and you crucified to the world. Have a look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. 2 Timothy 4. Now, we're looking at the war against the Word of God. We see clearly that there has been great inroads into the churches, because it's very clear that a church that is switched on to the Word of God and is a church of faith, that's going to, and is full of people that have centred their affections on the Lord, on things above, it's very clear that that type of church is going to be a victorious type of one. If we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So, clearly Paul is instructing Timothy, a minister of God, what needs to be done in the church. And you see here, preaching of the word is right at the forefront. Preach the word. So therefore, it's no surprise that there's a great attack on the preaching of the word of God, and a lifting up of other things rather than the word, having the word preeminent in church. To preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and I believe we're in this time, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And doctrine is biblical teaching here. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, this is linked to the prophecy in Amos, we won't turn to it, which tells us that there would be a famine of hearing the word of God, of the hearing of the word of God. So we know that we're right in the middle of that famine. You know, it is a great tragedy, and I'll talk more about it on Tuesday, a great tragedy that we have. The church is thinking that you can have a pick and choose exercise of which Bible will suit you. To have one word, because as he says, preach the word, one word, and therefore a unified doctrine will come out of that. But if you turn there, and it says in verse 4, and this is where we're talking about the war against the word of God, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Now, Jesus said, thy word is truth, okay? So they're turning away their ears. They are turning away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Fables. Made up, fictional stuff. Of course, the word is the truth. But when they turn their ears away from the truth, it's not that they're not going to be listening to anything, they're going to be listening to something else. It's like if you backslide and go away from the Lord, not saying anyone here will do that, but if a person backslides, they're going to be substituting the things of the Lord with something else. Same with, if I'm not listening to the word, I'm going to be listening to something else. This is the way the devil operates. Let's have a look at 2 Peter 3 verse 16. Now, there is in this war, and we've got to treat it as very serious. In this war, there are people who are unwitting, we'll say victims in inverted commas, but there are people who know exactly what they're doing, and they're very much against faith, and they know exactly what they're doing. Verse 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking and talking about Paul, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Now notice, there are people who are unlearned and unstable, and it uses the word rest. It gives the idea of wrestling with, or trying to take hold of and wrench it out of what it should be. And it says unto their own destruction. So there's twisting of scriptures. There's pick and choose exercises, as I said before. I mentioned an example before of people who, as soon as they come to the word profession, they put confession. Well, that's wrong, because Jesus is the high priest of our profession. And we have to understand that there has to be consistency. Consistency in the Word of God. If the Bible tells us something, we say that's the truth. I'm not going to try and alter it. That's the truth. That's what I believe. That's what I'm going to take hold of. That's the truth. I'm not going to wrest it or wrestle with it, because it causes destruction for people that do that. It'll cause a great undermining in their faith, in their doctrine that we saw before. And we have seen that, sadly. People individually, I remember a person, just recently, who left, and I quoted a scripture twice to this lady, and was just wiped away. No, there's this other thing I've got to consider. Wiped away. And when you get to that stage where the word doesn't matter or doesn't have an effect on you, you're in a dangerous position. And as it says there, unto their own destruction. Now we, who are of faith, we don't wrestle with the scriptures. We don't say, well, I've got to find something else that says something different so that I can believe that. We don't try to explain away things, but we allow the word to have its work in our hearts. In our hearts. There's a couple more scriptures. Let's have a look at Galatians 6. Galatians 6. So in the war against the Word of God, you see several elements here. There's the great compromise with the world, which is controlled by Satan. And Satan, remember, right at the beginning says, yea, hath God said. So obviously the whole flavour of the world is, yea, hath God said. You know? But God wants us to be people of the Word, to have our affections on Him, to see ourselves in the right way. In Galatians 6, and we'll look at start from verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. Work through a few scriptures here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And remember, that's quality life. Okay? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. So in other words, they're doing it for other motives, not for the love of the brethren. Verse 13, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory. So we see where Paul's affection is centred, where Paul's glory or glorying is centred. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Okay, we've heard about a new creature, haven't we? New creatures in Christ. That's what we are, with new features from what we were. So we have to keep in mind that the world is crucified unto us, or the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. That's a good confession for you to make. The world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Let's say that. The world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Praise the Lord. So we can say that, just like we should be saying, I am a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth. Now, when you put these things into your mouth, when you say these things in a believing way, okay, in a faith way, you will see the manifestation of it. You will see that your affection will centre on the things of God more and more. And the value you place on the things of God will grow. The value you place on the things of God will grow. Let's have a look at one last scripture. Go back to Galatians 2 verse 20. Galatians 2 verse 20. I'd like us all to read this together, so let's all get this in our Bibles. Galatians 2, verse 20. This is a wonderful confession that we can make. We've gone through several confessions we can make today, because if you make the right confessions in line with the Word of God in faith, you will see manifestation of victory in your life. So let's read this together. Ready? Let's read. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for what he has done. We are appreciative of the Lord for what he has done, and we know that without him we can do nothing. Without him we don't have strength. Without him we do not have victory. We do not have blessing. We would still be in the world. We would still be under the curse. And we would still be thinking and talking like the world. But now there is a difference. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for sending him. We thank you, Lord, that now we are crucified with Christ. We are risen with him. And our life is with him. He is our life. We praise you for that, Lord. Father, I ask that every person here would have a renewed zeal, a renewed understanding, and a renewed confession to make. Lord, I ask that your blessing be upon your people, that as we go forth in victory and triumph in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.